Hello and welcome to the weekly programme for the aerospace and defence industries across the Middle East and Africa. I'm Alan Peaford. Well, just over a month ago, we were all getting tremendously excited about the launch of the Mars Hope Orbiter, the UAE project to reach Mars and the first interplanetary expedition from the Arab world. The good news this week is that Hope has passed the 100 million kilometre point. That's 60 million miles for our non-metric listeners. And it's zoomed past Jupiter and Saturn, and according to the mission control, the red planet can now be seen straight ahead from the probe's onboard cameras, and it remains on schedule for its February arrival. I must say, getting 60 million miles away from Earth right now is an attractive thought. In fact, going anywhere would be nice. Things continue to look gloomy back here on our planet. IATA has been busily revising its figures for the airline and the wider aviation business, and it's not good news. So we're going to talk to Mohamed Al-Bakri, the Regional Vice President for Middle East and Africa for IATA. But first, let's pile on the misery by listening to the week's news headlines from Marcella Nethersole at the Times Aerospace News Desk.
Hello, and here is this week's aerospace news from across the Middle East and Africa. Early frictions have emerged in last week's announced UAE-Israel alliance. The UAE cancelled a meeting with US and Israeli officials in protest of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's public opposition to the sale of America's F-35 jets to the Emirates. The proposed US sale of the F-35 fighter jets to the UAE is strongly opposed by the Israeli military and political establishment. Abu Dhabi has linked the sale of the cutting-edge stealth fighter to the normalisation agreement, as well as a halt to Israel's planned annexation of the West Bank, but has been angered by Israel's Prime Minister, who is said to have walked back on both issues. The helicopter company, which is fully owned by the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, has signed a purchase agreement with Airbus Helicopters to purchase 10 H-125 helicopters. Considered a multitask aircraft, the Airbus H-125 can carry up to 6 passengers and can be easily reconfigured to suit varying requirements. IATA has called for harmonised adoption across Africa of ICAO's takeoff guidance for safe operations amid the COVID-19 crisis. IATA said safely re-establishing the continent's air connectivity is essential to rebuilding battered economies. IATA also urged African governments to take a giant step forward in connecting Africa by accelerating the implementation of the Single African Air Transport Market to further boost the post-COVID economic recovery. Kenya Airways has said it is to remove half of its pilots following the toll of the COVID-19 pandemic. The airline is looking to cut 207 of its 414 pilot jobs, which account for almost half of the carrier's payroll costs over the next 3 years. Kenya Airways Group CEO Alan Kilavuka said, "Based on our 3-year projection, we will require 50 to 60% of pilots to efficiently support the reduced operations. Our target is to reduce the company's overall total fixed costs, not just staff costs, by about 50% in response to our revenue projections." An Etihad Airways 787-10 Dreamliner, kitted out with special equipment that can enhance safety and reduce CO2 emissions and noise, completed a flight testing this week for Boeing's Eco Demonstrator program. A series of flights will gather the most detailed information to date about aircraft acoustics from some 1,200 microphones attached to the outside of the 787 and positioned on the ground. The collaboration between NASA and Boeing will improve the agency's aircraft noise prediction capabilities, advance ways for pilots to reduce noise, and inform future quiet aircraft designs. The Nigerian Aviation Minister, Hadi Sirika, has confirmed scheduled international flights from Nigeria will start this Saturday. Sirika said, "I am glad to announce the resumption of international flights from the 29th of August, beginning with Lagos and Abuja as we did with domestic flight resumption. Protocols and procedures will be announced in due course." Texel Air, a private airline and MRO based in Bahrain, has announced the arrival of the latest addition to its fleet, the Boeing 737-700 Flexicombi. It's the first of its kind aircraft conversion developed to provide the most versatile third-party cargo charter solution available in the market today. And finally, Bell Textron has celebrated its 85th anniversary. Founded by Larry Bell in 1935, the company has created innovative solutions, from breaking the sound barrier with pilot Chuck Yeager and the incredible Bell X-1 plane, to developing the world's first tiltrotor aircraft. Samir Rehman, managing director, said, As we celebrate our 85th anniversary and applaud the innovations that have shaped us as a company, we must now look towards the future. Having built an installed fleet of over 1,200 in the region over the years and delivered 52 aircraft in Africa and the Middle East in 2019 alone, we have a strong base to build on for the next 85 years. And we wish them a very happy anniversary. Well, that's it from me. It's back to you in the studio, Alan.
Thanks, Ella. Well, it is great to see that Bell brand still going strong, so congratulations again to them. Well, Mohamed Al-Bakri has been the Regional Vice President for the Middle East and Africa since leaving his senior management role at Saudia almost 4 years ago. As a change management specialist, he's used to change, but this year's experience is something very different. For the past 5 months, he's been pushing governments across Africa and the Middle East to recognise the vital part that aviation plays in global, regional and national economies, and to invest in the fight for the industry to survive, rather than pay a heavier cost in years to come. And at the same time, of course, there's been the messaging to the travelling public at large that flying, that once individual companies permit, is safe. Mind you, they've got to remove those barriers to free movement first. Now, sadly, the line between our studio and Amman were not as clear as we'd hoped, but I'd started by asking Mohamed about those messages and what responses he was getting.
We've talked a lot, and a lot of information has been out there. Air travel is safe, and it is safe and it will remain safe. And all the procedures and the measures that have been recommended by ICAO and by all the international organizations, including the World Health Organization and ACI and IATA and everybody, are actually made to make sure that air travel is safe. And it is safe. The issue is, we do understand the worry of governments, because they've been fighting a tremendous fight against SARS. And we do understand their concerns, but they really have to balance that concern. They cannot isolate themselves from the rest of the world and hope that they will survive. Okay, fine, you've been under a lockdown situation for 3, 4, 5 months now. How much longer can countries afford? The best of countries have piled up so much debt. The strongest of economies have piled up so much debt that it's going to take them decades to get over it. And as long as their borders are closed, it is abnormal. It is not normal. Now, these guidelines say, please don't open up your borders and ask for 14 days, 21 days quarantine, because it's the same result. It's just like you've never opened your border. You know, we recognize and we have published, and we are working with ICAO, we need to figure out an internationally accepted global standard that testing is the method to ensure that the virus will not be transmitted.
So let's turn to Africa now, because as you said, it came as such a total shock to Africa, and Africa had been gradually modernizing and developing a safe aviation network. And we're talking about expecting more than 80 million passenger journeys to be dropped off of this year, you know, which you'd originally said 51%. I think it's now 54% it's going up to. And GDP dropping by 35 billion. And the job numbers is quite incredible, isn't it? Job losses could be 3.5 million people in Africa. That horrifies me.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I don't have anything positive to say. I really am sorry. This is, 400,000 more jobs that are at risk from our previous estimates. And the number continues to grow. 54% plummeting in traffic. What's really also important is the devastation that is happening to the GDPs of these countries. I mean, billions and billions are going to be already lost and will continue to be lost. So the message here really is to the African decision makers and to African governments, please speed up the implementation of the recommendations stipulated in those manuals. Open up your economies, open up your borders in a consistent way. I was so pleased to see about 2-3 days ago that Kenya issued a list of 137 countries of visitors coming from those countries without the need for quarantine or test. It's amazing. You know, I mean, would love to see a consistent approach across all the African nations. You know, the longer African nations, you know, I mean, not make the decision to restart the industry, the longer and the lesser chance they will have to recover.
Now, interestingly, we've seen some governments providing relief to aviation in Africa. But what interested me, there were some of the smaller markets, some of the smaller countries, Rwanda, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso, and recently Cabo Verde. So they're the countries that probably doesn't cost as much to sustain it. I mean, is the call there for the bigger countries to really sustain it? Or by not doing it, does it create an opportunity for newcomers to come into the business and restart?
Well, you know, we were really pleased to see that those smaller countries, you know, I mean, with smaller airlines coming out and pledging support and actually providing cash injections into their carriers, which demonstrated the clear understanding of those governments of how important their travel is to their national plans and national economies and strategies. However, we're still waiting for the bigger countries and the bigger nations who have already, as we understand, they have already taken some of the pledged donations from international donors and from the African Union. You know, I think I can't remember now the exact number, but I think it's an excess of $14 or $15 billion have been pledged. But we're asking those governments to please allocate what's needed to the travel industry, allocate what's needed to the struggling industries to save jobs and to help them from going totally under and shutting down. You know, these companies will not survive. We know that for sure. They will not survive. The problem is it will cost countries 10 to 20 times more to rebuild these companies in the future rather than helping them now weather through this crisis and keep them alive and help and make them, you know, re-participate in the development.
So it really is take the gamble on the future. We need to do it. And I wonder how much of this is going to damage ideas like SATAM, like the Africa Free Trade, the things that were looking so positive for an industry. Does it push it back or does it actually push it forward that now is the time? We may not be able to be as big as we wanted, so let's be careful how we go, where we go, and let others into our countries.
You know, logic says that it should really push it forward. We were really excited to see people signing up for it and moving forward and developing plans to actually implementing those principles. But now that it is at risk, and I hope that, you know, I mean, African nations, especially those who have pledged, you know, I mean, to adapt those principles, is not to stop. This is the time where they can prove to the world that, okay, connectivity is a must. Connectivity, you know, Africa cannot exist without connectivity. We need to put those principles back on the table, and we need to work very hard, you know, to make it a reality and move forward. Because without those, we will lose the momentum. We will be disconnected not only from the rest of the world, but also from within Africa itself. This is not the time to slam the brakes. Please don't. It's the wrong concept. Listen, air travel proved to all of us that without air travel during, you know, I mean, this crisis and since the lockdowns happened worldwide, if it wasn't for air cargo, you know what I mean, how could have we managed to transport equipment, medical supplies, medicine, food, all necessary, you know, I mean, goods and services that nations needed to fight this epidemic?
And of course, change then is important. And that's something that I know you've been committed to. The 4 years you've been with IATA, of course, we've seen some amazing transformation from IATA. And before that, you were with Saudia, of course. And so transformations there. And you're changing jobs. We saw the headlines the other week saying that you're taking up a new post in IATA. So tell us what that role is going to be, Mohammed.
Yes, well, you know, as you said, change is the only concept. It's really about helping IATA. Now, we formed a new division, which is made up of three different divisions. So basically focusing on all the financial services and the financial systems that IATA offers to the aviation industry, not only to our members, but worldwide, focusing on helping our stakeholders, customers, airlines, travel agencies, airports, really to get the value IATA. And of course, to move forward and really take on the journey of digitization. And how can we really take advantage of the digital evolution?
Well, Mohammed, I think on behalf of all of us in the Middle East and Africa, I'd like to say thank you to you for what you've done over the last 4 years, because it's been great. And wish you all the very best for the new role ahead. And thank you again so much for joining us today. Well, once again, apologies for that troublesome line. And we do wish Mohammed very much the best with his new job. Well, that's it from us this week. Watch on our news sites, arabianaerospace.aero and africanaerospace.aero, for the latest updates. In Africa, we should be hearing about Comair's future, and hopefully more about testing processes and more routes opening that could lead the way for more positive news next week. Until then, stay safe and thank you for listening.